I want to use some scripture this morning that is probably very familiar to you, out of the 16th chapter of the book of Matthew. And I would just hope that each one of you would be able to speak from the very depths of your heart as the Apostle Peter did. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Who do men say that I am? If someone were to stop you this afternoon or sometime next week and ask you, "Who is this man that you're always talking about, called Jesus, or the Christ, or the Lord, whatever name that you may give him," I wonder if we've ever stopped to just give thought as to what answer we would give to the individual. How would we respond if someone were to ask you point blank, "Who is this man by the name of Jesus?" I suspect that each one of us would have a definition or an explanation of who he is. I hope that each of us would be able to say that we know who he is because that he has revealed himself unto us through the Holy Spirit, and that we are one of his children because at a point in our lives, he saw fit to save us and made us one of his children. I think as I read about the Apostle Peter here and his response, and you already know his response, but that the other disciples said, they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." And Jesus said, who do men say I am? Who do they think I am? Now, you've got to remember that at this point in time, he still is a relatively unknown individual worldwide. Did not have the advantage of the media that we have today, that almost instantaneously we can be aware of what's going on in almost any place in the world today. All we got to do is just flip the TV on or flip our iPad on or our iPhone or whatever, and we can instantly know what is going on everywhere. And we can, for the most part, identify most of the people because we hear so much about them. But you've got to remember that the things were a little different in that day. And though Jesus had been out here for some time now and had publicly been preaching the word of the Lord, and there were throngs of people who had come out to hear him, that as a whole, he was still a relatively unknown. And so as Jesus got together with his disciples on one of the occasions that he gathered with them, he said, who do men say that I am? And some of them said, well, some of them are saying you're John the Baptist. Now, you might remember that John at this point in time had already been taken prisoner and been beheaded for the preaching of the gospel. John had very clearly indicated that he was not the Messiah. He was not the one that they were looking for. He said, you know, I'm not even worthy to bear his shoes, let alone to be considered to be the King of Kings that's coming or the Messiah. But he said, there cometh one after me. And so you might remember that whenever that the Lord did come down to be baptized with John in the River Jordan, that there was the first revelation or authentication of the Lord as being the Son of God. Whenever that, as he was baptized, there was a voice heard from out of heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And one of the writers said, and went ahead and said, "Hear ye him." So some of them seem to think maybe this was John. John had enjoyed certainly a great amount of success. People had gone out to hear him preach, and he had preached a powerful message. Many of the people were pricked in their hearts. and had come down there desiring to be baptized of John. And John had preached a warning unto those people and said, you know, it's not just enough to have the desire. It's not just enough for our people to be able to say, well, I can tell you who the Lord is. You need to know who the Lord is. You need to be able to tell it not because of what you've heard, not because of what somebody else has said, but what you know for yourself. And because you can do that, you will find out then that that's why we'll have many different descriptions or explanations when people say, who is this man by the name of Jesus? Because he's going to mean something differently to each one of us, even though he is the same person to God the Father. He is our Father in heaven. He is our great Redeemer. He is the one who saved our soul. Anyway, they said some of them say you're John the Baptist. Some of them think you're Elisha, the great old prophet that was going to come. Some of you think maybe you're Jeremiah or one of the other prophets. But they at least attribute some aspects of notoriety to you. They don't really just know exactly who you are, but they know that you're more than what they've been accustomed to seeing out here. And so Jesus then said, "By whom say ye that I am?" Now then, I don't want to know what everyone else is saying. I want to know what you are saying. What are you saying? I'm always amazed at how that people a lot of times will say, well, you know, I was talking to so-and-so about the Lord, and they indicated they were lost, and they wouldn't know what they needed to do. And I said, well, you need to come up to church. You need to come up there and hear our preacher. Well, that's wrong, people. That's not what they need to do. It's okay for them to come here and to hear me preach, but that's not what they really need to do. What they really need to do is get to the Lord. And you know, you have just as much capability of getting them there. Matter of fact, you probably have more, because in most cases, unless you've just taken it upon yourself, God's already working in their heart as well as in your heart. And as he's leading each one of you, you have a better opportunity to get that person to the Lord than I will have. We forget that sometimes. We think somebody else is the one who's capable of doing it. Let me tell you something. When God is speaking to your heart, when God is dealing with you as one of his children, and he's leading you, you just let him have his way with you. If you will just do what the Lord wants you to, he'll take care of the other part of it. He always has. You know, it's never been my responsibility to save people. It's never been my responsibility to convict people. I cannot convict them. I cannot convert them. But I can tell them about the one who can do both. And I can encourage them that they need to get to the Lord, because he's the only one who can save them. Elton Baptist Church can't save you. Kent Parson can't save you. There isn't any member of the church who can save you. So who you really need to get to is the Lord. And that's what we need to be able to. Who do you say that I am? Jesus said to the disciples. Now listen, old Peter, he's always quick on the trigger. And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." He's right for this time. Sometimes Peter, whenever that he spoke, he was in just a little bit of a hurry, got ahead of himself, and sometimes he gave the wrong answer. But this time, he's right on the money. He said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Now listen, "And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." How did the Apostle Peter know this was the Lord? Well, Jesus answered it. Peter gave the right answer. He was right 100%. But I want you to listen to what Jesus said to him. "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." You see, it took God through the Holy Spirit to reveal unto the Apostle Peter who this man was. this man whom Peter had committed to following, who was following him, was listening to him, was watching him as he performed all of the work that he had performed up to this point in time. You and I, as a child of God this morning, have the opportunity to follow him, to listen to him, to observe him as he works in the lives of other people and as he works in our life. First of all, he must work in our life before we can truly know. And God has to do that work in our heart, in our life. It doesn't make any difference how many scriptures are quoted to you. It doesn't make any difference how many scriptures you can quote to someone who's lost. That is not going to save them. And no matter how many times people say, well, if you just repeat after me, then you're saved. That's malarkey. I can get you to say about anything that I want you to say, and some things you wouldn't even want to come out of your mouth if you just give me enough time. But let me tell you something. It takes more than that. It takes the convicting power and spirit of God in the heart of the individual, first of all, for them to realize that they're lost. I said earlier, I can't convict anyone, and I can't. I can preach the Word of God. I can put the Word out there. I can preach the Word, and the Bible says, and it goes forth accompanied by the Spirit. It will accomplish that whereinto it pleaseth. Not Kim Parson. My name's not even in the, it's not in the Bible anywhere. Someone said, well, it may be in yours. You may have it written. No, I don't. You can pick this one up and take it home with you and swear it's yours, because I couldn't say it's mine, because my name is not in there anywhere. Will accomplish that wherein truly it pleaseth him to send it, and will not return unto him void. See, so I have a great confidence in the Lord this morning that as I preach the word, my responsibility is to allow God to take and to use me, and allow the Spirit to work in the heart of the person who's receiving that word. I cannot convict a person, but God can. I cannot save the person, but God can. I can tell them about the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ. I can tell them he's the only one who can save them. He's the one who saved me, and he can save them. But I cannot save them. Neither can you. It takes that power and spirit of the Lord. Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona. Happy are you. I said to the deacons this morning, and again, I can't tell you everything we say back there in our meetings, but sometimes we have some good meetings back there. I told someone, somebody stopped me down at the store this morning and said, were you going to sweeten them all up today? I was picking up the donuts. I said, no, I said, just the deacons. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm so proud of these guys. And so happy to have an addition to our deaconship now. Is there such a thing as deaconship? I don't know. It sounds good. Anybody does. I don't know whether that's a good word or not. But I guess maybe if it's not, we'll get it added to the dictionary next time around. They add so many words every year. I just saw the list recently of the new words that have been added to the dictionary this year. Yeah, you didn't know that? Yeah, they do every year. They add new words to Daniel's Webster Dictionary. And so there's a whole list of them that have been added this time. And so, see, those people are even more modern than some of us are in that they're willing to keep up with the times. And some of these words are new words that we're using today that aren't in there. There's some things that need to stay the same, like the Word of God. Yeah, it doesn't need to be changed. It doesn't need to be updated. It's as modern as we are. In fact, it's way ahead of us. But now, I'm getting off my subject here. But now listen, I want you to understand this morning that we can be happy people. And what I started to say was, I told the deacons that one of the things that I had down on my list this morning that I was going to have for one of my goals this year was to sing more. And Timmy got excited about me going to sing more. I didn't mean I was going to sing more here as a soloist or anything. I just meant I'm going to sing more. I'm going to be a happier person. You see, when I'm happy, I sing a lot of times. Sing to myself. I don't sing for anybody else. Anybody else will hear me. But I kind of like to sing, and I do sing to myself a lot. And so sometimes when I'm happy, I sing. And what I was saying was, I'm going to be happier this year. Now, you can't just always make up your mind you're going to do something like that. But sometimes you do have to make up your mind that you're going to make an effort to do something. Bible says, he that is only a hearer of the word and not a doer of the word is like unto a man that beholdeth himself in a mirror, and when he has gone his way, straightway forgetteth what manner of man that he is. So you see, sometimes we need to just not only say, well, I'm going to do that, but we need to put it into practice. We need to really do it. And so sometimes we need to be able to say, Lord, I'm going to do a better job. I'm going to try harder than I ever have before. Happy. Happy are you, Simon Barjona, Peter. For flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee. Now this is important that you remember, because if you remember when later in his life, when the apostle Peter is out here and some of them come up to him and say, well, you're one of his disciples. He said, I don't know what you're talking about. I do not know him. Now, whenever I stand and say he lied, people say, you don't want to say somebody lied. Well, you just well tell it like it is. The apostle Peter lied. He did know him. He knew him not just because he had been with him, but because the scripture says the Holy Spirit, God Almighty, had revealed himself unto him. So he did know him. See, sometimes we just got to put the scriptures together. We just dissect this thing sometimes so terrible that there's no wonder that we can't understand the word of the Lord. A lot of times people, well, I don't understand the word of the Lord. Well, that's because we're trying to cut it up into too many pieces instead of taking it as a whole. You need in the beginning, and you need the amen. In the beginning in Genesis and amen in Revelation. God's word is consistent. God's word does not contradict itself. God's word does not need anything added to it nor taken away from it. We need to take it all for what it is. When God reveals himself unto you, you need to be willing to accept that revelation that he has given you and that he has blessed you with and say, thank you, Lord, that you have let me know that I am one of your children. I don't need the opinion of anyone else. I don't need the opinion of the church. I don't need the opinion of the deacons. I don't need the opinion of the preacher. All I need to know is that you have revealed yourself unto me, and that I am now one of your children. If he hasn't done that in your heart and your life, you need to see that that's done. And I mean that in all sincerity. Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood is not revealed unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, before some of you get the idea, and some of you have heard this, that of course then you know that the church was built upon Peter. Peter says that's not true. That's not true. Go over and read his writings over in 1 Peter, 1st chapter, 5th chapter, and you'll find that is the case. Now, I'm not going to get off on that tangent this morning, if that's what you want to call it. I can certainly take enough scripture to substantiate the fact that there was no one who established the church excepting the Lord Jesus Christ, and all the rest of these are not of that are of man. They are not of God, and you just need to understand that. The church that the Lord left here in the world is still practicing today, and it's practicing what thus saith the Lord God. Now, don't go out of here and say, preacher got out and said the Baptist church is the only church. I never said any such thing. It's not the name that will identify it. It's the practices that identify it. It has not always been called the Baptist Church. There are many different kinds of Baptists in the world today. There are Southern Baptists, Missionary Baptists, Primitive Baptists, on and on and on. Independent, free will. You can just name all kinds of them. And most of them are practicing most of the things the Word of the Lord says, but they're not practicing all of them. So you just need to be sure that you're looking and seeing what they're practicing. And you can't just pick and choose the Word of the Lord again. You've got to stay consistent with the Word of the Lord. Let's start there. Upon this rock I will build my church. And Peter says, you know, he's not the rock. He says, I'm just a little pebble. I'm a little stone. Jesus Christ is the rock. He's the solid foundation. That's what the church is, who it's built upon. That's the one who placed it here in the world. That's the one who authorized it. That's the one who commissioned it. That's the one who blesses it today, is the Lord Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. I've got to quit real quick. I want to read you something else. I want to read you just real quickly. Jesus speaking to the Father. He said, I have manifested thy name under the men which thou gavest me out of the world. I've manifested thy name under those men you gave me. Gave them to me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest, and thou gavest them me. And they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely, listen, that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. That's what Jesus said about these men to his Father. He's talking to the Father shortly before he's going away. And he says to his Father, he says, you have given them to me. You've given to me out of the world. And I have given unto them that which you have given unto me. I in turn then have given that to them. And they believe. They believe what I have given them. And they believe that you have sent me, that I am of you. Oh, listen, let me tell you something this morning. You can't just have the Son and not have the Father. You cannot just have the Father and not have the Son. You cannot just, quote, be filled with the Holy Spirit and not have God the Father and God the Son. You cannot just take them and dissect them that way, people, and expect to be right in the eyes of the Lord. I love this portion of the Word of the Lord because it says of all things to me that God does reveal himself unto men and that he does that in a very unique way. It was a very personal thing. And in spite of the fact that Peter is later going to be ashamed of his denial, there was a time when he had said, I don't know what you're talking about. Did he? Absolutely. Because before he had stood with the Lord himself and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, that didn't just come of man. That didn't just come from hearing. That came from revelation from God out of heaven. You don't get saved from anything here upon the earth. That comes direct from God out of heaven through his Son, Jesus Christ, and by the aid of the Holy Spirit that all three work together. Thank you for your good attention, for your presence this morning. I hope that every one of us can leave saying, it is well with my soul. Thank you.